Thank you all for joining us today on the podcast, Stories of Strength. And in this podcast, we share the stories of amazing people who use their strengths to overcome, you know, the obstacles and adversities in their own lives. And I'm really excited for this podcast, you know, one, because the people that we have on our pilot season are absolutely amazing, but also because, you know, while, you know, these stories are uniquely theirs, the opportunity for us to find community and inspiration, right, for our own obstacles or our own adversities is just really amazing. And to be able to find that within their stories of strength, I think is just, again, a great opportunity for all of us. And today we have our exciting guest, Megan. She is a chronic illness warrior, but she is much more than that. I'm going to read a small list here, but she's a swimmer, a runner, a painter, a writer, and a health advocate. I'm sure she'll have more to share with us. We are going to start off with our traditional question here. What is your story of strength?
My story of strength, I guess, started a couple of years ago after I'd been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. It's a very isolating disease. That's something that I commonly hear from everybody. And I think that's something that we can all really agree on. That's something that I continuously hear from everyone. And that's a really common link that I hear. And so that's something that I really tried to set out and make a difference in when I decided I'm going to do something about that. And that's kind of what got me involved in doing pageants. And I really didn't have a plan when I set out to do that. I just said, I'm going to do something about it. And I signed up and I started doing it and making kind of a plan to do that.
So you said something interesting, two things really, but I'm going to ask you this first. You said it's very isolating. I guess just a couple questions there. What, when you say isolating, like how did you feel, you know, at the moment, I guess, of your diagnosis? Did it take some time for it to really hit you? And then how did you transition from there to, like you said, starting to make a plan?
When I was diagnosed, I knew what I had. It took some convincing for my doctor, actually, to kind of get him on board with doing another lab. And 4 days later, he called and he said, yeah, you're right. And so that I knew what was coming. But for so many people, they don't know, and it kind of stops them in their tracks, and they have to kind of realize what's going to be happening and what their treatment plan is going to entail. So it wasn't really any big surprise for me, but it is isolating because it kind of takes your life away. It stops you, can stop you from your job and keep you from going out and socializing. And you kind of go through a mourning period sort of your previous life. And now you have a new life, but that's, a new life isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's sort of a rebirth. That's kind of how I have to look at it. And so you become a new person and you have to just kind of adapt. You don't stop using chapstick because you can't open it this way. You have to get the kind that twists off, that sort of thing. And you just have to apply that to everything.
You said your life changed and you gave one example. Can you give us some other examples that we might be able to, you know, to be able to relate to a little bit more as far as how your life changed post-diagnosis?
I stopped working. I could no longer do that fine motor detail that I did before. And I stopped riding horses. I became really weak and my hands. And then if you hit the ground, you're much more fragile now. So that stopped. Swimming is a much better option. And that's something I've done all my life. And it's really great because it's so low impact and wonderful. I did start running, which is not necessarily for everyone with my condition. Horrible runner, but I still kind of stick with it. I really enjoyed doing all the 5Ks. And even if I don't finish them with great time or anything, I'm still finishing them. I'm still doing them.
I mean, even just the stopping working, I mean, that's, when you said it's isolating, that helps give an even greater visual. I mean, that's a dramatic shift considering you might have spent, I don't know, anywhere between 20, 40, 50 hours of your time with a group of people. And to cut that off is definitely a picture of how your life can change so dramatically. Did you have a low point, I guess, in this, right? Because there's the high point, I'm assuming, is either now or getting higher because you're doing so much. But I mean, before that, was there a low point?
Definitely. I think once I hit about 2 years in and I sort of realized how little I was doing, I might have gone out of the house once a week. And just that was just to the grocery, and that was my outing. I was watching the Miss USA pageant, and I just kind of realized that was it. That could be finally my calling, my veritable Hogwarts letter saying, this is your reason that you can finally do this. So that's how I got involved in that. And I started doing it and coming up with a plan and coming up with what I could do to help people. And I just continually built upon it. I wrote a children's book last year that I'm working on illustrating this year. And I developed a support network with the Arthritis Foundation to launch here in Eastern North Carolina. My biggest plan has been to do a JA camp with Arthritis Foundation in North Carolina. The Arthritis Foundation will do a camp for juvenile arthritis patients. And several states have them. And it's just an amazing experience for the kids where they just get to go and be kids with other kids who understand what they're going through and all their little treatments that they do, and not have to worry about, you know, being the kid that can't run in PE or do something one day or something like that. It's something that really unifies them. And it also kind of brings the parents together as well and gives them a little support network. So yeah. That's my biggest dream.
You know, this thing about isolation is just really, really big, and it's really prevalent. And it's strange because it's becoming more prevalent, but harder to notice, I think, because of things like social media. So, you know, I can only imagine how many people are out there are only going out once a week or once a month or whatever, but you might not be able to see that behind the guise of social media. So is that something that you're seeing, I guess, you know, since you're working with RA quite a bit, is that something that you're seeing in the community a lot? What's your advice to those people? Do you have any words of wisdom, any suggestions?
I think we see that a lot, that hidden behind the screen name sort of thing. And that's one of the things that the support networks that we've doubled them with Arthritis Foundation just in this past year, the number of them. And that's one of the things that they aim to do, is not just to provide connections with other people, but to get them out face to face. That's their main objective, is to get people face to face and doing that. And that's wonderful.
It's always good to hear, I guess, you know, the positive things that are coming. You get diagnosed, you go through the period of isolation, but then you start planning. And originally you said you had no plan, but you knew you wanted to make a difference. Mm-hmm. What was that, I guess? Was it an emotional switch, or was it a logical switch? Was it just random? What was the compelling factor internally for you to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start helping.
I think it was just sort of noticing that I'd always been involved in volunteering. I went to Catholic school growing up. In high school, I was in service clubs and college service clubs. And then I was no longer really doing anything to help other people. And I was thinking, how am I leaving behind something that makes my mark? You know, if I go anytime, what is my legacy here? Mm-hmm. How did I make a difference? How can I use what I'm given to use it to do something good, you know? So, and there's so many people, and there's so many amazing women in the pageant industry who do the exact same thing that I do. They take something, some hardship or some experience that they've had, and they use it to do something good, make something positive out of it. And that's the most wonderful thing.
I love that. What is my mark? What is my legacy? So you start asking yourself that question, and you touched on a few things briefly, but what was your first step into, you know, tangible action?
The very first thing I did was run a 5K.
And at the time, you weren't running too much at the time?
That was the very start of it.
There's a lot of people without RA who don't, you know, don't have the ability or the motivation. And so I think even just pausing there, when we're mapping this out, right, the low point, the motivation, and it's almost like you energized yourself, I guess, first.
It's kind of like I dared it to stop me, I think. I was a little delusional on how long a 5K was. It was about twice as long as I thought it was.
I love that, though. I dared it to stop me. And after completing that first 5K, how did you feel?
It was amazing. It was great. It benefited veterans in the area. It was the Run for the Warriors And they do that all over the country. And I got to meet some really amazing people. One of which was a girl that's in a local running group here. And that kind of encouraged me the whole rest of the way. That kind of is what it started. And then after that, I started painting more and got out with a local gallery here. And so that got me talking to a lot of people and got me talking about what I was doing and what I was involved in. I had an interview with the paper, and then I started the book, and then I did my first pageant and made plans on all the rest of my little prongs.
If people go to your blog and they see all of the, just your highlights, it's intimidating, right? But hearing how you started, it's, if I'm somebody who is wanting to or looking for, you know, the motivation to start doing things, I don't need to start off by writing 5 books, right? Maybe it's just a small personal challenge and really getting that, I guess, that internal fire to dare whatever it is you put in front of yourself to try to stop you. I think that's an amazing thing. And then you started off painting and really just meeting more people, extending that social group. And then you said you started writing. So can we talk about the books? Because I know you've written more than one, right?
They're all in the works. Finished the children's book, except for the illustrations.
From there, you said you have other prongs. What else are you trying to do? Or what else are you looking to do? What else have you done? You know, let's talk about some of your bigger accomplishments, maybe some things that you're just really proud to be involved in right now. Let's talk about those.
This year, I've been the Jingle Ball Run honoree for the Arthritis Foundation Raleigh. That's been, I guess, my really big job as well. So that's coming up. That'll be December 1st in Raleigh. So I've been fundraising all year for that. That's been really fun. So that's, again, doing all the 5Ks and being involved in volunteering with the Arthritis Foundation. That's kind of led to that. I was asked in January and they said, take some time and think about it. And I emailed back noon and I said, no, I'm good. I'm in. Let's do it.
The energy that you have, it's contagious. I guess there's just a lot of self-belief in there. And the more I see it, the more, you know, what you said at the beginning about isolation, the more real it's becoming, the more we find out about, you know, what really burns deep inside. 5K, Jingle Bell Run honoree, that's quite a bit. How many people do you think you've impacted just through, you know, what you've been doing as far as your runs go, your work with the foundation? Do you have an idea?
I have no idea. Hopefully a couple thousand connected with. I mean, anyone that has a minute, I talk with them, or anyone that ever asks me any questions, I take as much time as they need to talk with them. Anytime I give them my full attention, because I'll have people message me and they'll ask me questions about fibromyalgia or RA or endometriosis or getting started in pageants. And I keep going until whatever. And like, I was in a car accident this week, and the people who have my car at the body shop, one of the people there has RA, and I was there yesterday and we were just talking about it for an hour, which is just kind of amazing. And I gave them all my contact information and said, you know, anytime that you ever have a question, this, you can ask me anytime.
You know, we talked about, you know, reaching out to people. We talked about maybe some of the negative effects of social media and what that can do. But, you know, I found your story because of social media.
Yeah.
The stories that you share, as far as your journey, I mean, I think it's absolutely amazing. And I think it's really, really important. You know, even I don't have RA myself. My sister does. I don't know. It's almost like if we don't talk about it, it'll go away or it'll get better. I think there's more negative effects when you do it that way versus when I see you kind of sharing your journey. I don't know if it makes you feel better. I know for me, I mean, I was immediately compelled. So did you think it was important to share your story, or did you just kind of happen to do it?
I just kind of happened to think that there wasn't really anyone out there doing it. And mm-hmm. I've seen a couple other girls who have done it. I'm very open about it. I share absolutely everything, every little step, even if it's really awful, awful and gruesome. But I don't just share the good stuff. I share all of the little bad pitfalls that I kind of go through as well. Cause it's not just progress. There's setbacks as well.
I think that's probably the best part. And I would say, you know, of the people that we're going to be interviewing for this first series, I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a theme of just a rawness and sharing, and you know, that difficulty, I guess, that might be for that person, how much it can impact other people. I'm assuming you get messages from people, not just like us, but from other people inspired by your story?
Sometimes, yes. And they're really kind. And I always tell them that they're so nice and they're so sweet. I've gotten a bracelet from a girl in Florida. She's amazing. Her page is Hope in Bracelets, and she makes the most beautiful bracelets. And she does all different designs that they have, any ribbon that you can think of, and they're beautiful. They're all sparkly and everything.
I just love what we've had so far, or what we've had to hear. Is there anything else that, you know, you think is important or you would like to share about your journey?
I'll throw in a couple things. The social media thing has the double-edged sword thing, because it does connect people. Like we've talked about before with patients like me, because that does connect people with kind of common illnesses, and can kind of connect people who have something rare that they might not know anybody else who has that. And I do really like that sort of platform that they've put on there. And then them collecting and doing research with people's, I guess, experiences day to day, and kind of tracking how they're doing and how they're managing their chronic illness, that sort of thing. And then doing everything that they do with the lab samples for people that they do lab samples on. So I think I really do like that. And they're such a great company.
I actually did reach out to them. I spoke to Jim on their team for a little bit there. You're right. I think too, just really just their culture when it comes to medicine, I think it's really important, right? Because we are very proud of our culture, because, you know, pharmaceutical industry is not known for positive culture or transparency. And so we're really happy to bring that, and to find that group, thanks to you. I mean, it's nice to know that maybe slowly but surely the industry as a whole will be moving that way, right? And so hearing you talk about that, I think the more people talk about those kinds of things and value that kind of stuff, I think the better it will be for the health industry in general.
Absolutely. There's definitely so much rallying against the pharmaceutical industry, I think, right now.
Yeah.
With, you know, all of the EpiPen, that sort of thing, people freaking out about that. And then definitely with all of the $12,000 infusions, everything like that. So I've walked people through cost assistance, patient care assistance, and everything like that, because that's definitely a complicating process. And every time you switch a med, you have to go through that. And every pharmaceutical company has a whole different process. And that's exhausting.
That's a different podcast for a different time. Just what we see in the industry and what we hate and what we are continuously fighting to change. And, you know, it's the patients at the end of the process really do suffer the most. We'll save that for a different conversation. We're so thankful to have had the chance to kind of chat with you and hear briefly just an overview of your story. If we want to follow what you're doing, where are all the places that we can follow you, check you out? I know you have a blog.
My website is www.mrsmegan.com. My Instagram is MrsNorthCarolina2018AD. I do have a public Facebook page that is Megan McCunn Figueroa, Mrs. North Carolina American Dream 2018. Okay. I should have a book come out later this year called The Best Medicine. Kind of goes along with my illness and what all I've done through it. It'll be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. Megan, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the chance to just talk and chat. Unless you wanted to leave the group with some parting words.
When I set out to do this, I set out with, I guess, three main words. They tell you to break down your pageant platform into three main action verbs, and mine were advocate, develop, and inspire. So I advocate for patients and their families, develop programs and resources for them, and inspire by sharing my experiences, good and bad, because if I can, we can. And that's what I'll continue to do.
Megan, thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity.